Dark Wraith Publishing presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 3 for Spring Semester 2013. Lecture 15, delivered on March 5, 2013. The title of this lecture is Review for Exam 1.
Today, Review for Exam 1. Now, I'm going to go through my part of this, give you the outline of the exam and some helpful advice. And then I will turn it over to you if you want to ask me questions. Well, is this going to be on the exam, or can you go over this? And I'll do that in the back half of the class today. So let's get started here. Well, I have the exam. Would you like me to put it up on the overhead for you? No. Boo, hiss, asshole. Okay. There are three parts to this exam. Part one is multiple choice, or multiple guess, if you know, depending on how you want to do it. 20 questions, 2 points each. And I'll give you a little more detail on that in a minute or two. But the multiple choice tends to be a difficult part of the exam, especially on the first one. And not although there are some who say we shouldn't do multiple choice exams anymore, many of you are going to have to face certification tests for professional purposes, and they will be multiple choice exams, so I do that part. The next part of the exam, part two, is workout problems. And there are a total of 5 of them, but some of them, they all have multiple parts. And that's 40 points of the exam, total 40 points, allocated among the pieces, the questions, and the parts of questions. Now, as far as preparing for that, I've set it, I think, for release at 5 or 6 o'clock tonight. You're going to have the data for a couple of problems on the first exam. It will be up. You'll look resources folder, and you'll see that there is a PDF exam 1 data, and that will be information that is for the exam that will also be on the exam. Now, I'm not going to tell you what you do with that. I'm not going to tell you the problems, but it's kind of obvious what kinds of problems this would be about. And I'll go into that in a little more detail here in a minute as well. But anyway, part 2 is your workout questions. And then part 3 is your short answer essays. There are 5 of them. You will do 4 of them. Don't try to do all 5 and then say, give me points for the best that I do. No, you have space on the answer sheet for 4 answers. Now, as far as the essays go, 1 sentence only. You go more than a sentence, I'll just strike it out. I won't look at what is after that first sentence. That doesn't mean you do a run-on sentence either. Every one of these should be able to answer in 1 sentence. Some in a sentence that might have 7 words. Others will take a little bit longer sentence, but 1 sentence. I caution you that I have a bullshit stamp. I really do. It's red, and I will use it like a boss. Now, I know I'm supposed to not hurt your feelings, but that's okay. I kind of like to see people come into class after they've cut themselves. The purpose of this, you have to give me a complete sentence. Don't misspell, and for God's sake, don't use text language on me. I am not your Facebook pal. If it's a word, spell the word. If it's and, not a little plus sign or something like that. God, that bunches my boxers. Never. One sentence, a complete sentence. Don't say because if I say why. You give me an answer. This is the way the business people that you will have as your supervisors want it. They don't want long-winded answers. They want a question answered. Say what you have to say and then get on with it and then go home and drink. Not that you do. I know you don't. But that it's crucial. This is probably the only place where you're going to get this kind of look. I know what these executives and all these bosses want. They want you to give them clear, just one-shot answers, because in a given day, and you're going to see this too, you get, like, for example, this morning I had over 80 email messages. So if you want to say something, make it short. Your supervisors are going to love you for that. Okay. And I'm going to go through some of those, what possibly I could ask you as essay questions here in a while. That's kind of my last thing that I do for my part of this. I just walk around the room and I just throw out maybe about 10, 12 questions or things that I might have you answer about. That doesn't mean they'll all be on there. That doesn't mean that there will be that something I haven't mentioned won't be on there. But it gives you a really good starting point for what you are expected to do in the essay, but that comes a little later. Now let me get back to the multiple choice, part one. This is a free-for-all, and it's just essentially anything can be asked in there. I will in there, for example, I'll tell you straight up, I'm gonna have you tell me the yield on a one-year T-bill, right, in there. You should know how to do it. It'll be in the multiple choice. I'll say, here's the details of this new issue, one-year T-bill. Give me the yield on it. So it's going to be there. Know how to do it. You've done it, practiced, and you also did it in a quiz. I'm going to ask you about the capital asset pricing model, the terminology that's used in it for things like R sub F. What is that? Or K sub F or whatever it is. What is that thing? What does it mean? What does the R sub M mean, or the R sub M minus R sub F? And I do notice that I'm looking at this, I used R's instead of K's, back to old days, old school stuff. In there, I would also probably have one shot, and I'll do it in the multiple choice, in the workout too. I'll ask you to get me an effective yield. Make sure that when you get information, you know what information is relevant to use and what is irrelevant to use. In an effective yield, to find an effective yield, you don't need to know the amount of the loan. You don't even need to know how long the loan is. So don't let me throw information at you that you think, God, where does that go in this? And that's very realistic, because the world's just going to throw information at you, and you have to know how to just toss out the information that you don't need and go for the information that you do need. And so I'm going to do that to you, not viciously, not dump information, but there might be information that's not relevant to the calculation. Don't sweat it. If you don't think it's going to be used, then don't use it. Be sure that you know about the difference between the borrower and the lender. When I talked to you previously about issuer, buyer, seller, purchaser, know the terminology so that if I told you about some kind of a loan, the details of a loan, you'd know, okay, who is the issuer? Who is the buyer? The issuer is the same as the seller. The buyer is the same as the purchaser. Know the difference between a bill, a bond, and a note. Make sure you know that difference, because I'll probe that. I will ask that. Guaranteed. Some of these questions you will have seen on a quiz. By the way, I finally opened up the answers for quiz two. I figured out what I had not checkmarked. So you can go back and look at that, what you got wrong and what you got right. I'm going to probe open market operations in the multiple choice. I'm going to say, all right, in terms of contractionary and expansionary monetary policy, which one is where the demand for bonds is shifting? Which one is where the supply of bonds is shifting? Again, with respect to contractionary and expansionary monetary policy, you need to know in which scenario the demand for bonds is being affected by the Fed's actions, and which one the supply is being affected by the Fed's actions. Let you write that down real fast here. More generally about the Federal Reserve, make sure you know the details. How many governors, district banks, who regulates, who supervises, what the tools of monetary policy are, what the three functions of the Fed are. I mean, that's just basically memory work. It's not real deep thought, but it's something that is worth knowing. So I'll hit you a couple of different questions in multiple choice that are kind of like just details of the Fed's operations. Know that information that I talked in one of the early lectures about different kinds of costs. Opportunity cost, sunk cost, replacement cost, historical cost, expected cost. Because I'll ask, that'll come up a couple of times in this exam, that distinction between accounting cost and accounting profit and economic cost and economic profit. Which one considers what costs and all of that? I'll probe that in the multiple choice, and then later in the exam I will as well. I'll toss at you a question about business organizations. Something about how you what is the same as and what is different about sole proprietorships, partnerships, and corporations. That comes to particular mind right now, considering that I have on the 15th, my corporate taxes are due. So even though I can't make you suffer those with me, I can at least ask you some questions about those business organizations. Also, I'm going to let you bring in, separate from your little card, your note card, 4x6 card you can have, okay? But also, if you want to bring in that ratios sheet, that PDF that's in your resources, you can bring that in too. Don't write anything on it, but you can have that for this exam too, the formula sheet for ratios, as well as your little card. And that one purpose for that is in the multiple choice, I could ask you something about ratios, maybe something about the relationship among ratios. Like, for example, which would be larger, the current or the quick? Can you tell me that? Which would be larger, the current or the quick?
Current.
You're guessing, aren't you? Yeah, you're good. You're good. Buy a lottery ticket. Yeah. Yeah, the current ratio, something like that. So I would know that you understand that there is this relationship that's going on. Some of the relationships are actually kind of deep, but I won't probe too heavily into that. But I'll ask you something like that. That's enough. I've virtually handed you part one. Now part two. You're going to have to do ratio analysis. But not really the analysis as much. I'm going to have you calculate some ratios and calculate some changes from year to year, just like on quiz two. It'll be like a miniature version of quiz two, okay? So that's something that you might want to notice and work on in that data sheet that's going to be published for you to see here in a couple of hours. You might say, oh, well, there's some financials. Maybe he would be asking about ratios from those financials. Okay, so that might give you some motivation to make sure that you have your ratios in order. I will also ask you to do a risk volatilities question. In other words, calculating sales risk, business risk, contribution of operating leverage, contribution of financial leverage. I will have that on the exam. That'll be the second question. I'm going to have you find the price of a bond, and I'll have you find the yield to maturity of a bond. We did it in a lecture a couple of lectures ago, or maybe last lecture. It's a no-brainer. It's just on your calculator. Just don't make a mistake because there's no room for error. You're right or wrong on these. Okay, and a lot of these numerical answers, there's only limited partial credit because if you make a mistake in finance in the real world, you basically get people who've lost billions of dollars getting kind of fussy with you. I'll have you find the price of a share of stock. That was the last lecture. I gave it to you exactly the way you'll see it on the exam. It's no surprise. You are going to be asked two questions. First of all, you're going to, I'll give, this is where you can get some partial credit because first I'll have you find report the discount rate that you're going to use and then the price of the stock. That way you don't lose all the points if you screw up the discount rate. Or if you get the discount rate right but screw up the price of the stock, you don't lose all the points. So you'll get, it's a two-banger. Ouch. And then I'm going to ask you some questions about present values and loans and all that kind of stuff. I'm going to have you calculate a payment, an effective yield, and then I'm going to have you do something where you plan, put money in the bank so that you'll have a down payment. So there will be an annuity question in there as well. So make sure you know how to do annuities. Because if you can, I mean, that question is like a couple of minutes long. It's not hard at all if you know how to use your calculator like a boss. Here it goes. Here's my... I'm going to just walk around. I'm just going to throw out some questions that I might ask you. What can a company do with its net income? There are two things. What can a company do with its net income? I use the term financial intermediation. What is that? What are the factors that determine whether an intermediation can happen or not? Again, what are the factors that can determine whether an intermediation can happen or not? What is money? Owned, yes. What is and what is not money? Are there different kinds of money? What do I mean by liquidity? What does beta measure? What's risk? Are there different kinds of risk? What's the relationship between risk and return? What's the relationship between price and yield? What does the Federal Reserve do? It has three different duties. What are they? There are three different tools of monetary policy. What are those? In terms of liquidity, how do we break down the money supply? In terms of liquidity, how do we break down the money supply for measurement purposes? What government entity controls fiscal policy, and what government entity controls monetary policy? What does it mean that the bondholders have the prior claim on assets of a corporation and the stockholders have residual claim? Again, what does it mean to say that the bondholders have the prior claim on the assets of a corporation and the shareholders have the residual claim? That's enough. That's more than enough. Remember, one sentence answers grammatically correct. Your spelling proper, no texting, no plus for and, no BC for because, no U for YOU. To a certain extent, I've handed you the exam. I mean, you should be sending me candy. But now it's your turn to ask me questions. You could ask me, if it's not going to be on the exam and you ask about it, I'll just say, that's not going to be on the exam. So that might give you a motivation to ask me a few questions here. What do you have? Go ahead.
You put on that 4x6 note card.
Well, you could put the Battle Hymn of the Republic if you wished, but I would not recommend it. Your call. I'm not going to walk up to you and stare at it. Yeah. Boy, you're pushing it. What am I going to do? Come over there and flip your damn card over? No, I don't want to get that close to you. I don't know where you've been. Yeah. Total debt is long-term debt. Yes. Now, if there are notes payable, those would also be included. But what we're talking about with debt is coupons that are paid, and if they're not paid, the lawyers with suits on have you in bankruptcy the next day. Okay. So when I say total debt to total assets, I'm talking about that line that says long-term debt, and if there are notes payable, that as well. Okay? And when I say sales, and I've warned you about this, but I've got to emphasize this again. Financial statements have all kinds of different ways of saying the same darn thing. When I say sales, that's your revenue. That's all of your money that has come in from your operations. And as I told some of the students in my office who were sitting there admiring my incredible photography skills with my framed pictures on the walls, look, I can break it down. I have photographic print sales. I have contract services sales. I have different, and so I would itemize those, but then there's a line where I add them all up, and that is my total revenue, or what is sometimes referred to as sales. Not any of the lines in the middle. So one of the lines in the middle might say sales, but if there are other sources of revenue, those are also sales, even if they don't call them sales. And I want to emphasize that because, like I said, in the real world, you'll see the financials. Like another one someone brought up in my office was operating income. Again, operating income is the same as EBIT. Typically, corporate speak says operating income or op income or op inc. In finance, where we have to do more detailed and more technical analysis, we call the same thing earnings before interest and taxes, EBIT. They're the same thing. Mean the same thing. Okay? What else have we got? Yeah? Oh, I put up, by the way, I had put up one to solve that practice problem, and it expired, so I've posted that again. But a sheet that's just like a template, I can do that for you tonight. so that you could actually just put in the numbers and then just line by line work them down if you want it, if you want that as well. Yeah.
Will we be able to bring that sheet in then?
You write the answers down from that. You're already going to be bringing in too damn many sheets. Yes. You know, at the end of the day, the whole purpose of this is four numbers. The sales volatility, business risk, contribution of operating leverage, contribution of financial leverage. It all boils down to those four CVs, all that work along the way. Other questions? I had someone with a hand up here a minute ago. Yeah.
Are you going to post the answers for the quiz for?
They should come up as soon as the quiz expires. It should be expiring any time now. And I, on that, what I had found out is that it does not default to show you the answers after the quiz closes. I didn't realize that. That's why quiz two, you didn't see the answers. I didn't realize I actually have to check mark something. But it's those are up now. And the answers for quiz four will be up. If not right away, then within a couple of hours. If they're not, send me an email and I'll make sure they pop up. Go. Oh, I don't know. What? At four? It's expiring right now. You got this look like shit. I don't know if I can open it up. If you're not there yet, send me a message. I don't know what I can do, but I'll figure out something, okay? Okay, what else? Anyone got any other questions for it? Yeah.
I'm quiz four. It's expired now. I was wondering if we could go over the burn ratio.
The burn ratio, I'll tell you right now. I'm going to give you a little prize for asking about that, too. Okay, the burn ratio, and this is an example I did in my office. And who am I going to use to talk about this? I haven't bothered you lately. Woman, it's the zombie apocalypse. Outside, you look out the window and you see zombies. Yes, there are people from Decatur, Heartland Community College, and God knows, quite possibly, from Jersey Shore. Now, you have got, well, maybe ammunition, maybe about 10,000 rounds there in your house, but you've also got 10,000 rounds you could buy down at the store. They're all rounds that can be used to pop and double tap the zombies. Okay, in some cases, triple tap. You look like you'll need about four, dude. Okay, now, talk to me. Do those rounds of ammo that you could grab at the stores very easily matter at this point? No. Only the ones that are cash and cash equivalents. Not the restricted cash, not the cash that is in your mom's purse down in the basement that you can steal when she falls asleep drunk. All that matters is the cash that you can get your hands on immediately. That's what the burn tells us, and it's an, like I said, it's an old school ratio, but it has so much use because it tells you if everything else goes to hell, there's nothing left, that's what you got to pay those current liabilities. Does that answer your question? Cash only. Cash? Okay, there's a line, and again, this is where it can be different. But if I see anything that says restricted or reserved or you can't have it this instant, don't use it, okay? Just cash and marketable securities or cash and equivalents. Go.
Oh, yeah, that would be considered the bullets.
Yeah, that are in your house.
Yeah.
And the restricted or reserved or available if you swing a dead cat around the pot three times, okay, that's not going to do you any good today. Okay, that's exactly what I'm looking for. Now I'm going to tell you a secret. The data, one of the data sheets that you're going to get is the IGT financials. Okay, so I'm giving you something that you'll use on the exam. That is, you've already been exposed to. You've already seen ITG. You've gone through the silly points where you made some mistakes and screwed up on the quiz. Now the live fire, you'll know exactly what to do when I ask the questions for ratios on the exam about IGT. Now, as you looked at IGT, what did you notice? Is that a great company? What? It's a bad company. It's in trouble. It's actually, and I talked about some of the reasons for that, but you can look at the ratios and you can see, what the hell? I thought that was an alien coming for me. You know, the blue light, well, actually, maybe that was death. I mean, I am getting old. Talk to me. Did you see that there was that company was ill, that it wasn't in good shape? You saw that. Begin to use that sense. When you're looking at things, even if you're not going to be a finance professional, you're going to work in a company. Wouldn't it be nice if you knew that that company is not in good shape? A lot of companies are going to give their employees this rah-rah, we're doing great, we're moving ahead. And meanwhile, the liquidation people are moving, you're taking your desk away. Begin to know how to identify the features and where your gut says, now, wait a minute, I don't like these ratios. Look at these ratios. Look at the changes in ratios, the changes in sales, the net income. That's what I'm trying to get you to do, is to get that sense inside of you that you can feel the force, and then you can join the dark side. Yeah, that'd be great if you could do that for me. And then do the change formula.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you do that first for each of the years, and you'll get a raw number. Don't round that number, for heaven's sakes, because you'll get accumulated rounding error. But I'd say, for example, if I wanted to do the change in current ratio, 2011 to 2012, here's what I'd do. I would first of all get the current ratio for 2011. Then I'd get the current ratio for 2012. And then I'd take the 2012 ratio minus the 2011 ratio answer, and then all of that divided by the 2011 ratio. And again, don't do any rounding if you can possibly avoid it, because then you would have an accumulated rounding error. Now, what I do on the ReggieNet quizzes, I can give a window, a little bit of a window, so that if the answer was 11.60, I can say take any answer as right that is between 11.58 and 11.62. I do that for two reasons, because you could get a little rounding error, and also I've noticed that some of you have a hard time with knowing how rounding works to begin with at the final answer. So I give you a pad in there of a little bit of a range that helps you get the right answer on those. But at the same time, you still have to be pretty close. But it'll be the same on the exam, too. If you're off by a few decimal if you're off by 2/100ths, either way, that's still materially a correct answer. Okay. All divided by.
That's your answer?
No, because it's a percentage. Changes are always percentages, so you have to take that times 100.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's for that. That's a faster formula. It's an alternate formula. I should have put the one that I told you in class, but that's the same thing, except all you're doing is the ending over the beginning minus 1, which is the same as n minus beginning all divided by 1. But at the same time, do make sure you know the difference between what is a percentage ratio and what is a factor ratio. At times, because on the exam, you will be marked, half your credit will be for getting me the right answer, half will be for giving me the right symbol. Is it a percentage or is it a times? Now, it's actually kind of easier just to tell you which ratios are the times. Always changes in ratios or changes in numbers, those are always percentages. But the ones that are factors that you put the X symbol, the time symbol, instead of a percent. That would be the current ratio. That would be the quick ratio, in other words, the acid test. Remember, the quick ratio is the acid test. They're just different names. And the burn ratio. Those are timeses. Also, times interest earned, this might really shock you, but that's a times too. That's one of those with a times. There's a ratio that I didn't show you. You've seen the debt-to-assets ratio, debt-to-total-asset ratio. There's an alternative that is popular that's used instead. It's called the debt-equity ratio, where you're dividing the debt divided by the equity. If you ever run into that, and I will use it a little later in the course, that's a times as well. But other than that, I'm trying to think, are there any other ratios that are actually timeses? Oh, the asset turnover and inventory turnover, those are times. So current, quick, burn, times interest earned, inventory turnover, total asset turnover. Those are times. Everything else would be a percentage, except for one called the average collection period. That's a days, but I don't show you that one in this class. Truth be told, there are some that are interested in it, but it seems like it's just kind of fallen by the wayside these days. So make sure you know which actual thing to put down for your answer, whether it's a percent sign or a time sign, because that's half of the answer credit for each of those ratio questions that I give you, and there are five of those. 2 points each. Other things? Anything else? Yeah. It's on the calendar, the exam, but it's chapters 1 through 6. Is it 7 that I don't do forecasting? It's 1 through 6, and then 8 and a little smidgen of 9. Yeah, check the calendar. It's under exam 1. It'll tell you specifically. But truth be told, I don't know if I even did anything in 9. I might have. But, yeah, it's enough to keep. And once it's over, you can go on spring break with a clean heart and happy feelings. Okay. What else? Anything? Got any other questions for me? Okay. Eat hearty, study hard, and that's all I have for you. I thank you.